All right, I want to extend greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing this morning to be here with you all. Enjoyed the songs that we're singing today. Looking forward to the baptism this afternoon. A blessing to be a part of that. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Your kindness that you've extended to us, Father. We just ask that you would help us to be faithful to you. Help us keep our eye on the goal, Father. Lord, forgive us where we fail you. Help us, Lord, to endeavor to the end, Father. We just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father. That we open your word, we thank you again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, we're going to begin here in verse 1. This is not, I'm just kind of, we're going to just take up here in verse 1. And we'll actually want to get to verse 13 before we start. But the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show him a sign from heaven. I want to just comment a little bit as we go, getting here. But the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing Jesus. That is the purpose of the faithless, having to test Jesus. Their purpose is mischievous, but Jesus is always under the microscope. I mean, there's nothing that he could do or say that would have pleased them or sufficed them. If he would answer one thing, that would be wrong. And if he answered something else, that would be wrong. Their purpose of testing was just to elevate themselves and bring him down. And what I'm going to talk about this morning, later on, is the spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the world. They cannot get along. They never will. They'll never be reconciled. One has to be put down, and the other will be exalted. That there's no profit in their testing. It is simply to try to tear him down, find a way that they can use it against him. That's the purpose here. That's why they were testing him. It wasn't for them to look for any good. It wasn't for them to actually try to understand him. The testing was to simply look for a hole or look for a chink in his armor so that they could have something against him. But he replied to them, "When it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. Here's another example of seeing things, having to see a sign, having to be proven. And that cannot be done. And that's what this is building to what we're talking about here. Later when we talk about the church and what Jesus said, these are building blocks of what the church is. It is not anything that's just you can put in a little box and say, there it is, and you can prove it. It's not something that we see a sign, and that's how we know. It's not anything like that. And Jesus said, you can see the outward things, and you can tell, well, it's cloudy in the sky, it looks like it's going to rain. You can see that, but you cannot hear God speaking from heaven, trying to show you who I am. Trying to show you the world, trying to show the world who the church is. You can see all the outward fluff, but you cannot hear God. You can't see the outward. You can't see what's real. You're stuck on what's outward. That goes along with what Jesus talked about of judging. You judge by outward appearance. In other words, you see what you want to see on the outside, but you cannot hear God's Spirit. You cannot see Him. And that's what these Pharisees and these scribes were doing. One thing we want to label those scribes and Pharisees as someone way back there. And boy, they were bad. They probably went around with a pitchfork and horns. And I mean, everybody just knew who those bad people were. But that's not the way it was. They were the good people. They were the religious people that had all the outward extremities, all the outward forms of goodness and godliness and righteousness. And no one dared question them. But Jesus did. And that went right to their heart. The same Spirit is alive today. And that's what we're trying to see. He says, verse 4, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah. And he left them and went away. An evil and adulterous generation has to be proven everything. They can't see the heart of God in anything. It's all on an outward scale. It's all on a what the weather looks like is going to do. Instead of being able to hear God. And the disciples came to the other side of the sea, but they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They began to discuss this among themselves, saying, he said that because we did not bring any bread. They missed it. You know, one thing, we can look at, we can read this, and we can look at this and say, you dummies, you missed it. And it's easy to look back and see how many times they faltered and they failed and they missed it. And we think of ourselves a little bit different. We see it. It's right here. We would never fall for anything like that. But that's not the way it is. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Why? It's almost like they're just focusing on their past failures and worried about that. Or instead of just going on and looking for what is right in front of them, they're worried about what happened before. Do you not yet understand or remember that the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many basketfuls you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large basketfuls you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and scribes? They were looking, or Pharisees and Sadducees, they were looking at what had, where they failed. And he was trying to point to them and trying to show to them, look what God did in this. Quit looking at yourself. Look what God did in this. Look for God. Not what you've done. Yeah, you failed. But that's not what the focus is. Look what God did in this. Look for Him. But then He said, beware. And He said, beware of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of that leaven. What is that leaven? You know, we would think hypocrisy. Yeah, they were hypocrites. That was the leaven. But that wasn't the leaven He's talking about. They understood that He did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. It was the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees that He told them to beware of. Well, what were their teachings? Was it actually their teachings that was so wrong? The teachings, what He was talking about is, look what you're looking at. It's not about your performance. Your perfect performance. Having everything so down pat. Look for God in all of this. Look at Him and His goodness. The scribes and the Pharisees had lives that were impeccable. Above reproach to the average eye, to the sky. It's going to rain, lightning and thunder everywhere. It's going to rain. The scribes and the Pharisees, look, Jesus said, don't look at those things. Does that mean we just throw out everything that He says? No. When we have the Spirit of God and the heart of God, we want to do what He wants us to do. But we do it with that kind of spirit and that kind of attitude. Now verse 13. Now when Jesus came up to the district of Caesarea Philippi, He was asking His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Look where they were looking. This is John the Baptist. This is Elijah. This is Jeremiah. This is one of the prophets. They were looking at Him as one of the men that were before. And they said, some said John the Baptist and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who did Peter see that He was? It wasn't just a representative. This was the Christ. That's who Peter saw in this. You are the Son of the living God. Peter recognized this. That this was God in the flesh. Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, you can't figure out who God is by the teachings. You can't figure out who God is just by having the book. We love the book. We love what it says. But you can't just figure it out by the book. That's what the scribes and Pharisees had done. That's why when Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they missed Him. Because it can't just be revealed by the book. It's revealed by the Spirit of God. And it's not just His Spirit is not just here to guide us into this step or guide us into that step or teach us to make every move we make. That's not what the purpose is. The Spirit of the truth is to point us to God and who He is. I want to read a few more verses here. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." What is it that Christ said that upon this rock I will build my church? Upon this rock I will build my church. Here they were looking for signs, looking for something that was a rock. They were looking for something they could absolutely trust in. And here, and they asked who he was, and they didn't know. They were looking for a rock. And Peter said, "You're the Christ." And God, and Jesus said, "The only way you knew that is because God has revealed it to you. That Christ has come in the flesh, and that is the rock. To the world, it doesn't look like a rock." They were looking for signs and wonders or somebody that would impress them. But the rock that was Christ, this is the rock that they would hear, "He who speaks from above." This is the rock that I will build my church. There's a lot of people that say that Jesus came in the flesh. Just like looking at the, you know, we can go back and look at the Bible. We can see all the answers. It's right there. We've studied it. We know what it says. And of course we would say Jesus is Lord. And of course we would say Jesus came in the flesh. And then deny the very Spirit that brings that. It's not just saying the magic little words that Jesus came in the flesh. It's actually being able today to hear His voice. To recognize the Spirit of God in this world today. To recognize the church today. To recognize Christ today. He came in the flesh. We could look for a rock somewhere. We look at men. We look at people and we say, "Oh, they're just men. They're full of mistakes." And so we keep looking and we keep looking and we keep looking. We don't listen to men because they're just the flesh. Jesus told Peter that upon this rock I will build my church. His church, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. This truth, this church, this is still here today. Hades hasn't overcome it. Where is it? Is it out there, some rock solid institution? Some rock solid Bible theology that we're standing on? Some rock solid, we're on the teachings of Christ? We have the teachings of the Bible that we build upon that? If we do, we missed it. Just like the Pharisees have. It's the Spirit of God in the world. The Spirit of the one who was rejected by men. Despised, forsaken. Not wanted. It's the Spirit of the cross that's laid upon a man. That's laid upon the church. That is where his life is. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of God, of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he is the Christ. If this revelation that he just gave them is so great and so wonderful, wouldn't you want to share it with everybody you saw? And yet Jesus said, don't tell people that I am the Christ. You know why? Because if we give them all the answers, and all they have to do is nod their head and say, uh-huh, I believe it, then we'd have what we have today. We would have a rock-solid institution, a sign and a wonder from heaven that I have the truth. And I can build on this vision from heaven, this sign and this wonder. I can just go to the teachings of Jesus and build a church right on top of that. And it looks just like what it's supposed to look like, we think. We can just build this false thing that looks so real and so true. We can even create our own crosses. We can get people to hate us by just going out and trying to make them mad at us. We can just become a martyr by just getting in somebody's face or do something so stupid until they want to punch us, and then go away and say, oh, I'm a martyr for Jesus. I got punched. All built on this, and it all looks and sounds just like the leaven of the teachings of the Pharisees. This can't be revealed by man. This can't be revealed by me telling you the secrets, or by anyone else telling the secrets. It's got to be heard. The church. What is the church? The foundation of the church is hearing that voice from above. Seeing Jesus. We believe that the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the New Testament is the foundation, the basis of the way we're supposed to be living. We keep what the New Testament teaches. We keep its ordinances. We try to follow the practices of Jesus. That's all right and good, because the real church will do that. We seems cold to some, but we close the doors to the church of anything that doesn't have what the New Testament teaches. We try to maintain that without adding to it or taking away. We just try to keep the basic teachings of the Bible as the entrance and the precious things that the church teaches. But you can do all of that without recognizing who Jesus is, without recognizing the cross. You can have that outward form of this. It's out there. Without recognizing that Jesus came in the flesh. That Jesus, he was a man living out the life of God, the life of the first Adam. Just a man carrying out the life that God intended him to live. And he did it. And the world hated him. The religious world hated him. They formed opinions about him. They didn't take the time to learn, to listen, to hear what he's trying to say. The church, the rock that the church is built on, is who Jesus was. The result of that, the result of that is to hear him and to listen to what he's preserved for us today. So many people today profess that he's Lord. They profess that they know him. And then they completely ignore what he taught. So many people today believe the Bible, every word of it. But then when you mention something that Jesus taught about how we should live, they throw it right out the door. They don't believe it. Jesus came to show us and to demonstrate it to us how that we are to live like him. We are to be of the same spirit of him. And that doesn't always fit the mold that we've developed in our minds. Jesus came to teach us. So many people say that they know him, but they don't listen to him. So many people are trying to even emulate what he said, but they miss who he is. The Bible says he was tested in all points, like as we. You see, you know, we sing a song, "Oh, to be like him. Oh, to be like him." I don't think we know a fraction of what we're saying when we say that. To be tested and tempted in all points. Anybody that gets very serious about the Bible, they run from all of those things and they shelter themselves from all of those things. They build little walls around them so they will not be tempted or tested. What are you doing? When you build a little wall around yourself, you're not just isolating yourself from the world, you're isolating yourself from God. So many people say that they believe these things. And if they were tested on them, they wouldn't dare to be tested on them. So they build these little shelters, these little cocoons, so they'll never be tested on them. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Jesus was a man. And he was tempted and tested and tried and ridiculed and rejected. You want to follow Jesus? Look at the life of Jesus and say, I'm ready for that. Not to go try to create it for yourself. Not to go try to just make life miserable for yourself. Just to punish yourself so you can taste his afflictions. There's no affliction in that. There's no price in that. There's no hurt in that. It's when Jesus starts taking away the things that you do cherish. Your reputation, your life, the things you love. That's when it starts costing. When you're bearing a cross, you're not just looking for the next punishment you get. So you can glory in it when you're bearing a cross. You're wondering what's coming next. You get a little reprieve and it scares you to death. Because you wonder what's coming next. People are looking for the outside. They're looking for what looks good. Jesus wasn't appealing to men. The Bible says His appearance was comely. It was nothing to be desired. Yet, He was the Christ. He was God in the flesh. How the judgment day is going to reveal so many things that we missed. These men missed a lot. Right there in His presence, He would tell them something, and then He would rebuke them for being faithless. They were looking for rocks, and we do too. They were looking for things that they could just build on. God's purpose for our life is not about where you work or where you live or hardly any of that. God's purpose for your life is that you be like Him. That you yield yourself to Him. If He lets you live in peace for a while or rest, that's fine. Don't go out and try to create something, a kind of a cross or something, so that you will feel like you're valuable or feel like you're worth something. You walk with Him. You trust Him. That's one of the things that people, I mean, young people, they want to do something. They want to really count. So they try to make something of their own. They try to build their own rocks. Let God take care of those things. Upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say, go out, take it upon yourself. Build your own cross. Go build your own church. He said, I will build it. Don't try to make it all look pretty. He said, I will build it. And when people see Jesus and actually just follow Him, guess what? You begin to find others that are doing the same thing. You begin to see others and you begin to have fellowship and communion with others who recognize a cross and recognize what it means to truly just follow Jesus. Yeah, we keep the outward things. Some people say, oh, it's all inward, and they throw out the outward things. And some people say, it's all outward, and we throw out the inward things. Neither one of those are right. You follow Jesus, and you want to do what He wants you to do. And you begin to follow Him, and you think you're all alone. Because you are. No one follows Him as a group. We follow Him alone. And we find a precious fellowship and a communion with others who are following Him. That's the church, the body. But you still have to do it alone. And most of the decisions you have to make, you're the one that has to make them. You have to choose every day. So in that sense, Even right in the middle of the church, you're still all by yourself. Because you still have to make the choices. Problem is when you get to thinking you're surrounded and everybody else is going to make the choices for you, or you don't have to make any choices because they've already been made, you're missing it. Right in the middle of the church, sometimes you feel lonely. Not because people don't love you. You know they do. But you feel lonely because it's still up to you to choose to follow the Lord. He will build His church. You follow. And the people that recognize that, that recognize God came in the flesh, that recognize the cross, you'll have communion one with another. And it's nothing you can do to build it except follow. So many times we try to take it upon ourselves to build it. That's why a lot of people don't understand this when we say, if you don't want to be here, you don't have to be. We're here because we've chosen to be here. We're here because we've chosen to follow the Lord. It seems cold. It seems cold to say, I'm going to follow the Lord whether you do or not. It seems calloused. But isn't that what Jesus did? Will you go away also? He would have been disappointed. He is disappointed when people go away, and so are we. But we're not following Him because we've got a church. We're not following Him because there's a nice solid rock we can just rest on here that we can see. We're following Him because we see Him. You can't be seen with those kind of eyes. His blessings. Anyone have anything you want to share? Pardon me? Well, praise the Lord. God bless you, brother.
That is encouraging me while it's such a moment of light that have that clear. One of the reasons, a couple of reasons why Jesus says, be quiet about it, don't tell them. That's just so interesting, isn't it? Because our focus just wants to go to the fact that He is that, and He is the Messiah, instead of remembering. But He was telling them, I'm one of you.
Right.
I'm like one of you. I'm a man. And like you said, it was just a premature declaration, I believe, and try to hang on that and forget everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that He's the Christ.
Right.
That's just so encouraging.
You
can just
say, hold on. Right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think, David, at this time, I'll give you an opportunity for a testimony and your desire, and we'll kind of sprung that on you. But anyway, it's give you an opportunity now just to introduce yourself, maybe tell your testimony, whatever you desire to follow the Lord. before baptism?
Stand up.
Yeah, it'd be okay.
I'm David Anderson. Not a lot of you, but some of you guys still haven't gotten a chance to meet and know, but I grew up in a Christian household that is kind of a non-well mainline Christianity. It never laid roots, and so kind of fell away for a long time. And only within the past year and a half, actually, I started seeking again. My whole life, I knew that Jesus was truth. But a year and a half ago, I also realized that he was the way, and there was a way that had to be walked. And trying to seek out how to walk that way, and recently I'm learning that he's also life, and through his life, and can't separate those three things. And I was very blessed by your message today, because in the past week I've been struggling with what is the church and what is truth, and finding these different groups and building these rocks and building walls to try and keep yourself safe. But it's really blessing to know that once you start seeking Christ, he does put brothers and sisters in your life. Last summer I met Andrew and Alexis in South Dakota, and just happened to be there in the same week in pretty much adjacent buildings, and I already knew that some things weren't right with kind of that mainline American Christianity, and he had a further developed that of this. I got to draw on his wisdom and talk with him, and through him talk with people here like Kevin, Marcus, and David, and draw on their wisdom. It's been a blessing to find brothers and sisters. And yes, thinking that baptism recently started to become a real important thing in my life, that I want to be baptized as a believer, not necessarily as an infant, and I want to be able to point to a group of people that I respect and I value for seeking the Lord. And so it just felt natural that I would be openly be able to come here and join in fellowship and just be able to call you brothers and sisters. Very much respect all of your testimonies and hope to know them all personally and be able to fellowship together.
Thank the Lord. All right. Thank you. God bless you. All right. Well, let's just head to McDowell, and it's kind of cold, so we won't spend a lot of time maybe there. Maybe we can sing a song here again before we go, and if we get there, we'll sing one.
We sing 93. 92.
stand.